Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
The new government's first test starts today. Will they survive it? Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Tamar Yona Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Well, today there is going to be the flag marching here in Jerusalem, where a whole bunch of youth and other people come into the streets of Jerusalem and dance with the Israeli flag. And they march it to inside the old city. It's a very joyous time with singing, with dancing. It's just a marvelous time. However, the Arabs who have tasted power now are threatening to go to war. I am not exaggerating. They are threatening to go to war, to spark a war in the Middle East here if Israelis do this. Let me just read you a couple of headlines here. This is from the Times of Israel. Ahead of the flag march, Hamas warns of war over Israeli actions in Jerusalem. The terror group says they're ready to hit cities if Israel carries out, quote-unquote, unusual activities. Israeli officials said to believe rocket fire unlikely. However, the IDF is putting up the Iron Dome in the south, and they're getting ready and being prepared for attacks by Gaza. And to get in on this as well, not to be upstaged by the Hamas, the PLO warns of an explosion if the Jerusalem flag parade goes ahead. That's reported by Ynet News. And there's much more to talk about. Will this government survive something like this? Barry Shaw will be joining us today, and he'll be weighing in on the issue as well. So a lot to talk about. The first test of this new government, will it survive? Because if Israel defends itself and starts to hit Gaza with our own airplanes to try to take out these terrorist targets, it could be that the Arabs inside the government will say, we cannot stand for this government killing our brothers, and they'll leave. We'll see.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Zapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Tamar Yona Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And before we go to our topic about the new government and the first test that they're going to be experiencing today, is a nice announcement here, and that is that starting today on Tuesday in Israel, the obligation to wear masks indoors or closed spaces will be abolished. No more do you have to wear masks outside or inside, except with a couple of exceptions. Here are what they're saying. Some of people will need to be continuing to wear masks if you are a visitor to a hospital, if you are an employee in a nursing home or geriatric institutions, employees and residents of welfare institutions, and the obligation to wear a mask will also apply during flights on planes. That is still mandated right now, but from now on, inside, outside, for regular activities. You do not have to wear a mask anymore here in Israel. All right, that is good news. Let's go to some interesting, testy news right now. And that is the new government of Israel. Their first day is not going to be easy. The first test is with the flag ceremony that, or flag parade that's going on today in Jerusalem. And the Hamas is warning war over this if Israel goes ahead with this parade. And not to miss out on the action, the PLO is also warning now of an explosion if the Jerusalem flag parade goes ahead. Our guest today is Barry Shaw. He's going to be commenting on this new government. And feel free to call in with any comments or questions. We are live if you're listening on Tuesday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. here in Israel, holy time, or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. Monday night, U.S. Eastern time, that means that we are live and you can call in. You can also join us in the chat room. Barry Shaw is the International Public Diplomacy Director at the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. His books include Fighting Hamas, BDS and Anti-Semitism, BDS for Idiots, and 1917, From Palestine to Israel. He has more books as well, and they're all available on Amazon or at the Stymatsky bookstores here in Israel. You can visit his websites at theviewfromisrael.com and strategic-israel.org. Welcome to the show, Barry Shaw.
Hello, Tamar. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right. So everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen now, how this new government with Arab members in it is going to handle its first challenge.
Yeah, well, I heard you say that today in Israel, first time, the masks are off. And really today, the first day of the new government, the mask is off the new government as well. They have to hit the ground running because, as you quite rightly say, their initial test starts today with the flag day in which thousands of young Israelis will be marching through Jerusalem, through the old city to the Kotel, waving Israeli flags. I want your listeners to know this is nothing provocative. This is a tradition celebrating the liberation of Jerusalem from the Jordanian forces in 1967. Nothing to do with Palestinians, though the Palestinians are expected to make a massive and violent process that may include rockets, perhaps, from Gaza, certainly explosive balloons. That's going to come up there. Hamas are also calling for violent confrontations with Israel as part of their protection for Jerusalem. Hamas, it seems, to be claiming to be the guardians of Jerusalem. And they're going to be probably trouble in the territories.
Right. A day of rage they're calling for in Judea and Samaria. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can tell you that yesterday, even as the new ministers were assembling at the president's residence, Naftali Bennett, Yair Lapid had side meetings with Benny Gantz and Chaim Bar-Lev, the incoming public security minister, doing an assessment, a security assessment of today's events. The decision was made to go ahead with the march, which would be starting. It will not be going through the Muslim quarter, but it will start from the Damascus Gate. But instead of entering the Old City there, they will march around the walls and enter the Old City via the Jaffa Gate. Now, I would have thought they would have gone perhaps through the Armenian quarter, but they seem to be going through the Arab Shuk area in order to get to the Kotel. So the police have beefed up the security. They'll be running an assessment all day today. And as you said, quite rightly say, Hamas is threatening to protect Al-Aqsa, although we're not going to Al-Aqsa, they're going to the Kotel.
Yeah, they do that to stir up the anger and get more Arabs to come out really angry. They start with the fake news.
Yeah, apparently it's even dangerous to go up to the Kotel on the rickety bridge that they built there, which has been deemed unsafe and has to be reconstructed. I'm sure when the necessary reconstruction will begin, there's going to be massive global alarm that the Jews are going to claim the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and all we're doing is really modernizing the access bridge that allows people up onto the Temple Mount. But that today is going to be the first major test, and we'll see how we get through that. I'm sure part of the attempt to slander Israel and the Jews will be to make it some sort of Jewish occupation of Jerusalem and the Islamic holy places. But, you know, this has to be put back into proportion. So having, if we survive that one, there's another challenge to the new government later in the week, where Benny Gantz, the defense minister, announced a few days ago, even before the formation of the government, or the passing of the government in the Knesset, that he intended to evacuate a settlement called Aviatar, named after Aviatar Barofsky, age 31, who was murdered by a Palestinian terrorist in 2013. And Gantz plans to pull it down this week. And this will be an immediate and direct challenge to Bennett in his first days in office as prime minister. If Bennett intervenes, it could set off a Meretz Labour left-wing friction part of his government. I think perhaps the solution would be, or could be, that Benny Gantz will warn the Aviatar settlers to prepare to vacate without actually imposing a deadline this week. I think that's too early on, and I think he'd have to head off that sort of crisis, because if he did anything there, he wouldn't only have put Naftali Bennett and his party and the other maybe right-wing members of the government into problems, but it would erupt in the rage of the religious Zionists, the Likud, and the other parties in opposition as well. So I don't think this new government needs that second crisis coming this week. And then after that one, we have in the coming days, probably next week maybe, we have the issue of the evictions of Arabs from Jewish properties in Shimon HaTzadik, what the Arabs call Sheikh Jarrah. The name doesn't hide the fact that this is a legal property dispute, not a racial issue. It's gone through the courts with the documentary evidence that the properties in question are and have been for a century or more Jewish properties. And it's a dispute that the people occupying them are basically squatters. They moved in there after the Jordanians took over that part of Jerusalem in 1948, 1949, evicted the Jewish people who were living there. But it didn't prevent the fact that the properties remained under Jewish ownership, and the Jewish owners want to reclaim their properties. So anything you might hear, maybe it's going to be next week, come back to this. Do not believe the media lies that this is Israeli occupation, driving poor Palestinians out of their ancient homes and things like this. That is a lie. It's a media lie that has been perpetrated, and one has to remove the progressive woke glasses and come back onto the clear glasses of reality. It's a legal dispute.
Right.
That's another one that the new government's going to have to deal with.
And I think people need to get used to hearing about Arab occupation, Barry. You know, the Arabs are always saying occupation. You think, oh, the Jews are occupying Arab land. It's the opposite. The Arabs are the ones who are occupiers. And people have to realize that, because they've been so programmed to hear the opposite.
But the two issues together, Tamar, that we spoke about, the flag day, the Jerusalem flag day today, and this eviction thing, has come back to, what's it come back to? It come back to the point you said, that from 1948-49, Israel was occupied by Jordan. Israel Jews had no rights. Jews were evicted from the old city of Jerusalem by the Jordanians in 1949. They didn't come back until 1967 to reclaim their properties. But part of those properties belonged in Shimon HaTzadik, which which became Shigara. Again, it's the name of playing the name of the game of names, isn't it? Where they change the name to an Arab name, and one would assume it was an ancient Arab property, and these Jews drove them out.
Right.
The occupation had been Jordan. Jordan was driven back. And by the way, the point I always make, and I want to make it again on your show, that the Jordanians did nothing for the Palestinians from 1948 to 1967. Nothing. They had all that time to say, oh, well, we will give this for the land of Palestine. They never dreamt of doing it at all.
Okay, hang on. Hold on to that point. We have to go to a break. We're going to be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our guest is Barry Shaw. We're talking about the new government. Today is its first day, and already, as he aptly says, they're going to land with their feet running. And this is so. We have a flag march that's going to be taking place today. The terrorists are threatening war. They're threatening terror attacks. They're threatening days of rage, etc., explosions. And how is this new government going to handle it? Barry?
Yeah, well, I mentioned the first couple of tests that we mentioned, the flag day, the liberation of Jerusalem for Israel. The second one about the evictions of the Arabs from Jewish properties in Jerusalem. The third one is going to be that Hamas has declared a day of rage. Actually, they declared it for this coming Friday, but we're hearing voices they may have one on Friday. They may have one on today as well in order to stoke up the tension with regard to the flag day. Actually, these three things together is, when we mentioned the test of the incoming government, these three issues is going to be a test for Mansour Abbas of the Ram Party, who some people say courageously was the first Arab and the Arab Party to join in legitimately as a member of the Israeli government. Well, this is going to be a test for him about his loyalty. And he claims about the loyalty of Israeli Arabs in the Israeli society. So he's going to be positioned if whatever responses we have to make to these sort of things, that he has to go along with it. Otherwise, what's he going to do? He's going to side with the Arabs who object to Israel, Jerusalem being in any way a Jewish capital. I think he has to. His position on these issues is going to be very interesting.
Let me, if I can, Barry, just to read something here from Ruth Sheva, IsraelNationalNews.com. They have a headline here: Mansour Abbas clarifies, "These are my boundaries." He says that if decisions are made that run counter to Islam, his party will resign from the government. And he says here that the government was established based on our will, he says, and we will influence it at every moment. Today, we have proven that the Arab community is a strong player in the political arena in Israel. And he clarified that, quote, "This government is dependent on us and our decision. And if there is a decision that contradicts our national principles and our religion, we will not be there." Asked if he intended to overthrow the government, Abbas said, quote, "We will act responsibly and not childishly." That's what he says there. So he's threatening to leave if anything goes against his religion. Now, it's very interesting because he's supposed to be representing the Arabs, but not all the Arabs are Muslim. Some are Christian. It's a very small minority. But still, you know, who is he representing here? But he is saying that we're controlling the government, which is what I've been saying the past several days as well, as soon as we heard that this government was going to take over. And I said, they're going to call the shots. The minority is leading the left, which is Bennett and his small party of six members. And the minority of that party is running Bennett because they're going to threaten to leave if Bennett decides anything that this little tiny small party says. Go ahead.
Is it going to be a test of Mansour Abbas's intelligence and responsibility? When you're going to hear loud and violent rhetoric about the Jews are coming to take the Al-Aqsa Mosque, etc., all this fake news.
Barry?
Can you hear me?
Now I do, yes.
Okay. He is very much aware from even past history that Israel and the Jews are not storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque and depriving the Muslims of their right to pray over there at all. And he has to show responsibility by actually speaking up about this and certainly not being carried along with the emotional rhetoric, the negative and false emotional rhetoric. And this is part of the test of the fragile new government and his responsibility. This week will be a real test of his leadership and where he really stands. So that we covered that one as well, but then we come on to another thing in connected with Hamas, because the negotiations have been put on pause and will have to be restarted about the Israel demand for the return of the bodies of Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul, plus two live Israeli civilians that have been held hostage by Hamas in Gaza. And, of course, that the Hamas leader Sinwar is demanding the return of 1,111 imprisoned terrorists in return for the bodies of Golden and Shaul, and also the two live Israelis. I don't think any Israeli government should be prepared or could be prepared. Now, however, we really want the return of our people to return over 1,000 imprisoned Hamas and PLO prisoners.
Terrorists,
exactly, at this stage. This is going to be another test for negotiating skills of the incoming government, which seem to be quite novice at this, but there's going to be a real test of their political steel in the next week or two over this particular issue.
Now, I don't know anybody who's giving this government, this new government, much a prediction of much time to last, because they are so diametrically opposed in their ideology and their values. And even former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying that this government won't last for those same reasons. He also said, by the way, he and his right-wing bloc are going to do everything that they can in order to topple this government. What do you have to say about all of that?
I'm not making a prediction at this time as to whether this government is going to be able to stand in the major crises that are going to happening over the next few days, a week or two. I'm just laying out for your listeners the list of major problems that are going to hit them in the coming days, and they have to cope with this, these issues would be very difficult even for a government head by Bibi, who'd been in office for over 12 years, and for a government of novices that really only received their seal of approval yesterday. and took their car out on the road, it's going to be a minefield they have to drive through from the beginning. So I'm just laying out some of the issues that they're going to be facing and you're going to be hearing about in the news in the coming days. Mm-hmm. The other issue is a law they're going to pass very quickly to do with the Bedouin in the Negev and in the Galilee, but in particularly in the Negev. And Mansour Abbas has a responsibility for the Bedouin. Now, there has been an enormous amount of lawlessness being carried out by the Bedouin, both in the land grab that they've done around the Negev, where they've simply come in, pitched their tents, brought their goats and the camels and everything, and laid claim to thousands of dunam of land across the... Anybody who drive down to Beersheba or goes through the Negev can see this as they just scatter the landscape. So if we
use the right word, Barry, they stole land. They stole it. They took it for themselves and they stole it. Go ahead.
If we're talking before, as we did, about how the Arabs took over Jewish properties, these are just homes and courtyards and things like that in Shimon HaTzedek, part of Jerusalem, the Bedouin have laid waste and laid claim to a vast amount of the Negev. And in the previous governments, when they have said, look, we will bring you together into communities of your own and we will build you your houses and everything, the sheikhs and the shepherds and everybody, the Bedouin, have said, no, thank you, we will hold on to our property. So this is going to be a major test for Mansour Abbas and his rampart again to try and get some sense into the Bedouin that you cannot hold on to land you do not own and have no legal rights to forever and a day. This is a democratic country, and we will give you properties, land, that they don't give it to any Jews as willingly, in order to you people can communicate in your own communities, keep your own traditions, but you cannot carry on expanding lawlessly across the whole of the Negev. And this is going to be a major test for this government. Together with this, of course, is the lawlessness that are taking place in a lot of the Bedouin towns like Rahat and others as well, where the youth have basically they've not been provided or they've rejected a police force over there to keep law and order. And there's been a lot of troubling exhibitions of lawlessness of these Bedouin driving on the main roads in jeeps and vehicles, shooting off machine guns and doing all sorts of exercises like that. And also there have been internal tribal battles going on, both in the Arab communities within Israel and within the Bedouin communities in places like Rahat and other places. Certain lawlessness.
Okay, hold that point. We have to go to a break, Barry. We're going to be right back. When we get back, I'm going to ask the question, is Bibi a sore loser?
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is Barry Shaw, and we're talking about the new government and its first test today, which will start with the Israeli flag parade. And Barry, we were talking about how this government is formed, and the glue holding it together is its number one hatred for Bibi. In fact, one of the first things that they're going to be doing is trying to pass a law of a term limitation, which means that Bibi would never be able to run again. And Bibi is kind of acting, some people might say, even like a sore loser, saying that we will be back. That's okay to say that. But then he's saying that we're going to do everything to topple this government. And I think that the classy thing to do would just to be say, well, you know, we're going to make a peaceful transition and we're going to try to work towards bettering the country. You know, just say some nice words, even if you're not going to say we're gonna try to help this government. It's not what we want, but you know, for the sake of the Israeli people, we're going to try to strengthen this government. Okay, they don't have to go that far, maybe, but it's just the way that he's handling it. It seems not so classy to me. And he was laughing at Bennett, also saying that Bennett doesn't keep his word. So how is he going to be able to protect us from Iran, and etc.? So where would you like to start?
Well, he had a meeting of all the opposition MKs, and that's precisely what he was telling them. It's basically a not just a rear guard effort. He said we shouldn't shoot ourselves from within the armored vehicle. We should shoot outside, which means he's coalescing all the opposition from the various parties there, and they should take aim at the government in power. I suppose that may be the duty of an opposition, but that's what's going to go on. And the other test, of course, where they could really make a spoiler for it is over the budget. Bennett, for instance, assured the Haredi community that's in opposition that his commitment to them, despite the fact they didn't join the unity government, and he plans to help them on issues such as housing and employment. And it depends, because we know in Israel, governments stand or fall if they're able to pass a budget or not. And I'm sure Bibi would lead the opposition in no matter how much they would give the Haredi community, that the Haredi community under Bibi in opposition would vote against the budget. So a budget could be one that's essential to be passed later this year, as soon as possible. And that might be another one that could bring down the new novice government. But coming on to international issues, and this affects, I suppose, Bibi, is the issue of Iran. How strongly can this novice government stand up to the international pressure, both from Iran and certainly from the Biden administration, who seem overly keen to renegotiate a deal with Iran and lift sanctions on Iran? Bennett has always said, by the way, Tamar, that he would maintain Bibi's position on Iran, as has said, actually, Yair Lapid. He's expressed his strong opposition to a return to the Iran deal. So it seems that over the Iran deal, they are in lockstep with Bibi's example. The question is, how experienced are they in international diplomacy in to make their positions as forcefully made as Bibi made it? Well, Yair Lapid has said when it comes to international diplomacy, he will take a different approach. And his different approach is going to be to schmooze up the Democrat Party. The ones he said that Bibi upset when he went to Congress and was invited to speak to the House. And his speech was basically an anti-Obama speech. And he lost basically the Democratic Party after that address. International diplomacy, as Lapid has said, and don't forget Lapid is the foreign minister until he becomes a prime minister, is going to be restored to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And there's a talk of them improving about 35 new ambassador appointments, which Bibi had held back. But what they're forgetting is that public diplomacy mustn't be ignored. You know, new ambassadors are fine when it comes to trade deal and things like this, and they like to be diplomatic. But one needs a more affirmative form of diplomacy. And it can't be done by polite diplomats, government to government, then it ought to be done by public diplomacy. This is something I'm involved with the Israel Institute of Strategic Studies, the public diplomacy aspect. That cannot be ignored. The people to people, the organization to organization thing. We need a strong strategic affairs ministry. We had it under Gilad Erdan. We haven't had it since. Call it the Stand With Us ministry, with pro-Israel advocates implanted in major embassies to reach out to the people while the diplomats do their government-to-government business. I don't believe this is going to happen, unfortunately. And we have, in the new government, the Labour and Meretz parties are in charge of what's called regional cooperation and the Ministry of Diaspora Affairs. My fear is that these people will be appealing or appeasing the J Street, the Jewish Voices for Palestine, the hard left-wing radical voices in America and other places, because this is part of the same left-wing ideology. This is covered by the Israeli Labour Party and the Meretz Party. And if these people are being put in charge of diplomacy, international diplomacy, we could see perhaps the soaking into Israel of some of the ridiculous, progressive, woke, Marxist poison that is quite frankly poisoning America right now. And that's part of my fear when it comes to diplomacy.
So do you have any, you said you didn't really want to predict anything yet about this new government, but with their ideology so opposed, and the only glue holding them together is their hatred for Bibi, and they've got him out, so that glue is very, has been weakened a lot. And the second thing is their quest for power. So how far do you see this government being able to hold out with what it's going to be facing?
Well, they're in power, and, you know, quite frankly, if it's to do with the Labour and Meretz doing things to do with the transport and infrastructure and helping absorb minorities closer and better into Israeli society, dealing with the health issues, because Meretz minister is the new Minister of Health, that is fine. That's all very cohesive and very good. But what I don't want is them to use their levers of power in order to bring some of the radical left Marxist ideologies of America into the Israeli mainstream. I think this is very difficult. Coming at a time where we have a U.S. representative, Mike Waltz, who recently, as yesterday, introduced a censor resolution against some of the anti-Israel, anti-Semites, the Omars, Yotella Cortez, the Talaibs, the Presleys, the Cory Bushes, and he wants to call them out and demand that Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the House, remove them from all the official positions they're in. So I don't want their sort of woke, progressive, lefting policies being adopted inside our own government over here, because that's the way it works. They come from the opposition and they start exercising these things when they come into power.
Right. You know, one prediction I can make is that they're going to weaken the religious sector, and that is because now the finance minister is Avigdor Lieberman, who hates the religious. And so I see that the religious are going to get their budgets cut for their yeshivot, their institutes of higher Torah learning, their pre-army programs, perhaps. I don't see it's going to be very good at all for the religious.
Well, I don't see Lieberman or Gideon Saar or Naftali Bennett accepting any of the march to the left or the critical race theory and things like this that could be adopted by members in leading members of the new government. And that itself could be an internal issue that could bring about the fall of the new government.
All right. So in the last minute and a half that we have, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, I think there is some good news coming out of this new government, because both the UAE and Bahrain have congratulated Lapid on the new Israeli government, and they've said they're committed to strengthen the Abraham Accords. And Lapid told their foreign ministers that he's looking forward to working closer with them and even extending the accords to other countries. So we haven't lost our new friends in the moderate Arab world. And maybe these people could be used to apply some pressure, if possible, on the other Arab states that are propping up Hamas. Not sure about that. I don't say that with any confidence. But incidentally, I want to tell you that we're already planning with the United States and the Israeli new partners in the Abraham Accords to hold a ceremony in September to mark the first anniversary of the Abraham Accords signing at the White House. Now, I wonder whether President Biden would be gracious and invite Donald Trump to the White House as a guest for being the initiator of the Abraham Accords. Or maybe I'm just dreaming.
I think you're just dreaming. But, you know, there have been other surprises. All right. Well, the music's on now, and that means that we have to go. I want to thank you very much. We're going to be watching and seeing what's going to be taking place now. So much happening that the new government, as you said, is going to be facing now. Thank you so much for joining us, Barry Shaw.
Thank you for having me, Tamar. We'll see today what happens.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.